Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, the Father of love, who is ever for you. Amen. Dear Christian friends, what do these four songs have in common? I don't want a lot for Christmas. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Well, you probably figured it out. They all center on the first person singular, I, or me. So likewise, in our gospel today, there's a very important phrase that we hear Elizabeth say that has repeated over and over again, the first person singular, I or me. It's spoken by Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, the mother of John the Baptist, as she is still pregnant. She says, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She, of course, is speaking to Mary, who by mystery of the incarnation gets the title, the mother of my Lord, mother of the Lord. Now, we can all say by the mystery of our baptism that we have a brother, Jesus Christ, and we all can say we're brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, can't we? Because of the faith, because of the church, we're all brothers and sisters. But Mary gets a little special title too, doesn't she, in the Bible, in this text today, mother of the Lord. But whose Lord is it? Whose Lord is it? Listen very carefully. Elizabeth says, the mother of my Lord. First person singular. Even if Mary seems closest, the Bible allows Elizabeth and us to take personal possession of the babe born in Bethlehem. Such, I think, prompted our dear blessed reformer, Dr. Luther, to write in the Small Catechism, I believe in Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. And my catechism teacher just got an A. Me. In a world full of iPods and iPads and Play Me toys, this Word of God really should get our attention, shouldn't it? Now listen again to the words. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do you notice here the surprise, the humility, and the posture of her faith? She doesn't say, I just want to worship you, Jesus. Or, I'm doing the best I can, Lord. Or, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. She doesn't say that. No, she says, why is this granted to me? Or for short, why me? One of the greatest gifts, if not perhaps the greatest gifts of Christmas, is knowing that God would come to you, to me. I bet there are plenty of reasons why Elizabeth could have said, oh Lord, you really shouldn't come to me. And likewise, I can think of quite a few reasons why I can say to the Lord, I don't know why you'd come to be with me. You should not come find a dwelling place with me, O God. Yet God chooses to dwell with the ungodly. God dwells with sinners. In fact, Luther even said God only dwells with sinners, meaning if you're not a sinner, if you don't recognize you're a sinner, then God isn't for you, is he? Luke, the physician who wrote this text, recorded this text of Mary, also said later on about Jesus something he said, it's not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick, those who are sick with sin, they know that they need a physician. That's who Jesus Christ comes for. Jesus comes to you if you only realize that you're broken. So God's presence near and in us is always undeserved. Why me? Worse than that, however, because this can be interpreted as false humility. Like, why me? Although I'm really thinking, yes, it's all about me, and it's finally time that God recognized that I've been wanting him in my heart, right? No. We disinvited God at the Garden of Eden, way, way back then. We disinvited God. Remember, Adam hid from God. He said, stay away, God. Don't find me. I'm not in the room. Go away. So when God comes graciously near, then we truly have a reason to say and marvel with Elizabeth and say, why me? Why me? You know the two greatest questions in the Bible? You ever think about what the two greatest questions of the whole Bible are? They're probably not, how many men died in the Exodus? How many Egyptians were killed in the Exodus? It's probably not the most important question. Or how did Moses really get water to come from the rock? Let's study that scientifically. Not the most important question in the world. Or not even a question about forgiveness. How many times should I forgive my brother? 77 times, we know that. But that's not the most important question of the Bible, is it? Probably the two most important questions of the Bible are one that we sing, what child is this, right? What child is this? And the other question, why me, right? What child is this? Well, we heard this question asked in a more developed form later on. Who do people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah or one of the prophets. No, wrong. And, right? We know who it is. It's Jesus Christ, my Lord. My Lord. And the second question, why me? Why me? That's a very important question. Because, and there is no other reason than this, because God so loved the world. He wasn't going to let it go to waste, fall into sin and despair. God so loved the world. That's what Christmas is really all about, right? He sent his Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved. Second, because, if you will, because the Spirit worked. So very, very important, the words in our text today that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why she can say, why me? Because she realizes that God is for her. And she can say, why me? I'm a sinner. I don't deserve this. Why me? Remember that Mary didn't come to Elizabeth saying, hey, Liz, I've got Jesus in my heart. Do you want to have Jesus in your heart too? That wasn't the question. Rather, Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Spirit, tells Mary, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. It's the Spirit who is the cause. The Spirit is the one who causes the baby to rejoice. The Spirit tells Elizabeth, hey, Mary has the Lord. The mother, she's the mother of your Lord. It's the Spirit who is working faith here in the gospel for Elizabeth, and worked faith also to Mary. The Spirit came to Mary and says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, the angel said, and you will conceive in your womb the Lord Most High. The Spirit caused that faith. The Spirit is ever working here, both in adults like Mary and Elizabeth, and with little babies. Unborn babies as well. Can we not say that they have faith too? Here John the Baptist does have faith, does he not? Don't say it's a coincidence that the baby leaped in the womb, because the text doesn't suggest that. It says the baby leaped for joy. That's worship. And only those with faith can worship. So to summarize so far what we've heard in this text, there's a lot about me in this text, right? Me, 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 first person singular. So remember that the love of God and the Lord and Christmas is for you. That's a good thing to take away from this text today, undeserved sinners that we are. Second, there's a lot about the Spirit in this text. The Spirit filled Elizabeth. There's a lot of Spirit, third person of the Trinity. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She perceived and confessed that the Lord was present in Mary, caused by the Holy Spirit, caused the child in her womb to jump for joy. May the same Spirit here at Christmas time fill you with great worship and joy and love and peace at Christmas time and all your visitations that you'll do. Third and finally, there's a lot of blessings in this text today, is there not? A lot of blessings. You heard it several times. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Elizabeth tells Mary. In verse 45, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment spoken to her from the Lord, of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed is different than blessings. Blessed is a state of being in favor with the Lord, but it is uniquely tied to the hearing of God's word. And the point being, as you enter into this holy week called Christmas, those blessings underneath the Christmas tree, they don't make you blessed. Being a father or a mother or a grandfather or a grandmother, that doesn't make you blessed either. It's a great blessing, isn't it? Doesn't make you blessed. Being blessed, in biblical terms, means having that Spirit-worked faith from the Word of God and from our baptism that prompts us to believe in the forgiveness of our sins and to know that God has truly come near and was present for us, that my Lord came to earth and was born from the Virgin Mary. After all, Jesus isn't the Savior from superficiality, secular superficiality, and bad Christmas songs. He doesn't save us from that. He saves us from sin and death. And so we can say, as we hear in our liturgy and we hear in the text, blessed is the one who believes in the fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed is the one who believes in the fulfillment of what Jesus came to do, die on the cross and rise again from the dead, that we might go and live with him in the heavenly places. Or another way to put it, blessed is those are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith of Christ Jesus. Amen.